All right, let's have a Bible study. Open up your Bibles to Mark chapter 9, verse 23. We have extra Bibles if you need one. All right, we'll start at verse 14 at Mark chapter 9. When Jesus came to his disciples, he saw a great multitude about them and the scribes questioning with them. And straightway all the people, when they beheld him, were greatly amazed, and running to him, saluted him. And he asked the scribes, "What question ye with them?" One of the multitude answered and said, "Master, I brought unto thee my son, which has a dumb spirit. Wheresoever he taketh him, he tears him, and he foameth and gnasheth with his teeth and pineth away. And I spoke to thy disciples, and they should cast him out, and they could not." And he answered him and said, "O faithless generation, how long shall I be with you? How long shall I suffer you? Bring him unto me." And they brought him unto him, and when he saw him, straightway the spirit tear him and fell on the ground and wallowed foaming. And he asked his father, "How long is it ago since this came unto him?" And he said, "Of a child, and oft times it has cast him into the fire and into the waters to destroy him. But if thou canst do anything, have compassion on us and help us." Jesus said unto him, "If thou canst believe, all things are possible to him that believeth." Straightway the father cried out and said with tears, "Lord, I believe, help thou mine unbelief." When Jesus saw that the people came running together and rebuked the foul spirit, saying unto him, "Thou dumb and deaf spirit, I charge thee, come out of him and enter no more into him." And the spirit cried and rent him sore, came out of him, and he was as one dead, insomuch that many said he is dead. But Jesus took him by the hand, lifted him up, and he arose. And when he was come into the house, his disciples asked him privately, "Why could not we cast him out?" And he said unto them, "This kind can come forth by nothing but by prayer and fasting." And they departed thence and passed through Galilee, and he would not that any man should know it. For he taught his disciples, said unto them, "The Son of Man is delivered into the hands of men, and they shall kill him, and after that he is killed, he shall rise the third day." Now, there's a lot going on there. And Jesus was teaching. Jesus was always teaching his disciples. But I want you to look, I want you to notice, we'll look at 18 through verse 24. "Wheresoever he taketh him, he tears him, and foameth and gnasheth with his teeth, and pineth away. And I spoke to thy disciples that they should cast him out, and they could not. He answered him and said, O faithless generation, how long shall I be with you? How long shall I suffer you? Bring him unto me. They brought him unto him. When he saw him, straightway the spirit tear him, and he fell on the ground and wallowed foaming. And he asked his father, how long is it ago since this came unto him? And he said, of a child. And oft times it has cast him into the fire and into the waters to destroy him. But if thou canst do anything, have compassion on us and help us. Jesus said unto him, if thou canst believe, all things are possible to him that believeth. And straightway the father of the child cried out and said with tears, Lord, I believe, help mine unbelief. I want you to notice in this set of scriptures the two ifs. The two ifs in there. That's in verses 22 and 23. One was by the father of the child, and one was by Jesus. See, deity can use the word if. Deity can use the word if thou canst just as much as man. In fact, God has the only lawful right to use such a term. For it is a settled fact that all things are possible with him. So if we can quit this eternal questioning and this unbelief concerning God's will and his power, all things will be possible for the believer. It is not just a question so much as to what God can do, but what man can do in believing God and his word. Any question of God's will concerning anything that he has already promised and provided for all men is an excuse of unbelief and must be repented of. So here we got a lot of things going on here. Now Jesus, he was excited about teaching his people. He spent a lot of time teaching his people. One of the things he told us is that the kingdom of God is within you. You know, it seems like man's reaching way out there trying to get in contact with God. But God moved on the inside of you. He's in there. The kingdom of God is in there. He's inside of you. So now we can look inside of us. You know, the Bible talks about these rivers of living water that come up from the deep out of you. And that's how when you pray in tongues, you pray this stuff up. You know, you have knowledge that, you know, the one that created the universe moved on the inside of you. You know, the one that raised Jesus back to life, he's inside of you. See, we have more knowledge inside of us than we even dare to tap. We haven't even scratched the surface. You know, we got some basic things down, but God lives inside of us. You know, he knows everything. We don't know all that much. But he knows everything. That's how sometimes some of these guys that create some of these inventions that they come up with, a lot of times they don't know exactly how it happens. You know, I talked to a man in the oil field. He come rolling in. He had this machine, his trailer. Had this machine on this trailer. He pulled behind his pickup. And he said he could back up to a drilling pit with this drilling fluid in it. And he could suck that pit water up out of there, run it through this machine. There was just pipes going in squares. It was just the craziest looking thing you ever saw. But when it come out the other end, you could hold a cup there and take that water and drink it. And I said, how did you come up with that? And he said, I didn't. He said, I was walking around out in the pasture and God told him the math and told him the design and the operation, told him how to do it, basically downloaded this information. He said, I still don't understand it. I just did what God told me to do, and it works. He said, I can't really explain it. I just, that's what it is, that's what it came out, and it works. See, God inside of him. This guy was searching for some kind of an answer, and God gave it to him. The same way the guy that invented the alloy for steel, walking down the trail, he's hiking, and God, and he asked God, he said, won't you show me this alloy to make steel stronger? And God said, yeah, pick up that rock. See, God's not going to always talk to you in these queens. He's not going to talk to you in the Queen's English. You know? He's going to talk to you in a way you can understand. He said, pick up that rock. So this guy thought, oh, he picked up that rock, put it in his pocket, and he forgot about that rock. Went on with his weekend, got back to his lab, and then he remembered that rock. So he put that rock in this machine that he had, and it broke it down, and it turned out to be the alloy to make steel stronger. See? God knows everything, but he makes it simple for us. But we got to check in with him once in a while in here. We will hear that still, quiet voice inside of us. That's what makes all things possible. We're believing on Him. But you know, He's going to work through men. Now, one thing He did say, if thou canst believe. See, we get born again, and one of our responsibilities is learning how to live by faith. And learning how to live by faith is learning how to receive from God. See, everything that we're going to receive from God is going to be the same way we got born again. We're going to believe it in our heart. Remember, we came to believe that God raised Jesus back to life, and then we confess it with our mouth. Then we thanked Him for our salvation. We confessed Jesus to be Lord. We thanked Him for our salvation. And then we were born again. Everything else is going to be the same way. We heard the gospel about Jesus, and then we got born again. You know, we can hear the gospel about finances. We can hear the gospel about healing. We can hear the gospel about protection. We can hear the gospel about deliverance. We can hear the gospel about everything we need in this life. And it's all written down right here. You know, one thing my pastor used to say is we got an open book test. God gave us all the answers right here. We just got to open them up, find out what it is God gave us, and then thank Him for it. Man, that sounds really hard, doesn't it? You know, a lot of people spend a lot of time searching for the secret formula to answered prayer. When we stop and realize that God has freely given us all things with Christ, and we just start thanking Him for those things, guess what happens? Those things come our way. He's already given them to us. And as far as He's concerned, He's laid it all out there for you. All we have to do is reach out there and grab it. So we thank Him for it. We reach out and grab it. Said, yes, that's mine. Healing is mine. Protection is mine. The same way we did salvation. We believed it in our heart. We reached out and we grabbed it. But you know what? Your salvation was already paid for 2,000 years ago. It just didn't become a reality until that certain day and that certain month and that certain year at a certain place where you came to believe in your heart that God raised Jesus back to life. And then you confessed it with your mouth. But somebody had to tell you, though, didn't they? Somebody had to tell you. See, the Bible tells us that faith comes by hearing, hearing by the Word of God. So when we hear, especially the Gospel and the Epistles, when we hear the Word of God, and we hear it, and we hear it, and we hear it, it changes our heart. See, a lot of times people have a hard heart for Jesus until they hear the gospel, and they hear that and it changes their heart and they say, hey, you mean God doesn't hate me? And they get born again. Everything else will be the same way. God told Joshua to meditate on His word day and night. One of the things about meditating on the Word of God, and we find out, you know, whenever there's a problem, remember we learned whenever there's a problem, it's because there's already an answer been set in stone. See, the curse didn't come first. God came first. The curse didn't happen until after Adam sinned. So the right was in place before the wrong. So whenever there's something wrong, we know there's already an answer to the wrong. So we just go find our answer. You might call it a promise. You can call it an answer. Whatever makes you feel comfortable, go to the Word of God and find out what He says about your problem. And then meditate on that. meditate on that scripture. And this is a really cool thing about the Word of God, is one scripture, if you have a revelation of it in your heart, will take you farther than five chapters memorized in your head. You can have a whole bunch of Bible memorized in your head, but if it's not in your heart, it's not going to do you any good. It must be mixed with faith. His word must be mixed with faith. So we take it, we learn about it, we meditate on it, we get it in our heart. Once we get it in our heart, nobody's going to take it away from you. Is there anybody that can convince you that you're not born again? No. Why? Because it's in your heart. It's not in your head, it's in your heart. You own it. It's yours. See, once you get something in your heart, it's yours. And then you'll step out in faith in it. Now, in verse 22, this man did something. He did probably the best thing he could have done. He hollered out to Jesus and said, "Have compassion on me. Have compassion on my son." See, have compassion. Have faith in the compassion as well as in the power of God. That should be the true approach to him. For when God has compassion, action will be taken to meet human needs. See, a lot of people know that God can do a lot of things. But a lot of people don't know that he will. See, it's one thing to know that God can do miracles, that God can do healings, that God can do all these things. But it's quite another thing to know that he will do these things. And in order for us to know that he will do these things, we'll have to believe that he will have compassion on us. See, now we're getting to the heart of God. When we're calling on his compassion. See, when we call on his compassion, we're not relying on our good works. We're relying on his mercy and his grace, which puts us in the perfect place to receive from him. You know, the Bible tells us that we've been made kings and priests. That's in the book of Revelation. It tells us that we've been made kings and priests. I got a curious thing that you need to understand about kings. Kings sit down. And in fact, the Bible tells us in the book of Ephesians that we've been seated in Christ in heavenly places. We're sitting down. Spiritually, we're sitting down. You know, before we can learn how to walk by faith, we have to first learn how to sit by faith. See, when we got born again, we couldn't earn that, could we? There's nothing that we could do that would be good enough to merit salvation. The only thing we could do is sit in that chair and say, "Yes, Jesus, be my Lord." That's the only thing we could do. Believe it and receive it. Did you know you're not going to earn one thing from God? You can't. You can't. There's nothing that we can do that would make us righteous before God. Our righteousness is 100% wrapped up in Jesus. It's because of his shed blood. And that's what qualifies us for the blessings of God. We are the righteousness of God in Christ Jesus. Wrong between us and God got washed away. We got put into right standing with God. See, whatever was wrong before us got taken away by the blood of Jesus. That's when our sins got washed away. We got made part of the family. Now we're in good standing with him. Before we got born again, we weren't in good standing with him, but we are now. Now, it's because of him that we can receive all of these promises. Verse 23 right there says, "If thou canst believe." stating once and for all, regardless of what it is or who it is, that prayer will be answered, providing there is unwavering faith that is all things will be given that are promised and provided by God in the gospel. All things are promised in the gospel that pertain to life and godliness. See, that covers a lot of country, doesn't it? That covers a lot of country. And in fact, if we'll look over to Second Peter chapter 1, Second Peter chapter 1, verse 3 says, according as his divine power has given unto us all things that pertain unto life of godliness through the knowledge of him that has called us to glory and virtue, whereby are given unto us exceeding great and precious promises, that by these you might be partakers of the divine nature, having escaped the corruption that is in the world. Now, there will be people sitting around. See, just like, see, when Jesus met the man with the demon in his boy, and there were some scholars hanging around there questioning his disciples. There's always going to be some people hanging around that are going to question your faith. You just need to wave them off. Don't worry about them. Don't even contend. Don't waste time arguing with them. Just go on with your own faith walk. If they're not going to join you and agree with you, don't waste any time on it. Just go forward. Yeah. See, what we need to understand about these disciples, that before that, Jesus had sent them out. He had given them power to cast out devils, to lay hands on the sick. He told them to go out there and do this work. And evidently they did do some, but then they ran into a hard case. And things didn't go well for them. And then the religious mafia jumped on them. See, they're still in town. And then Jesus had to tell them, say, look, if you'll just believe. See, that's our job. Just believe in the mercy and grace of God. See, he's already given it to us. Right here. Some people will try to tell you that it's just spiritual blessings. But I got to ask you this. All things that pertain unto life and godliness, does that sound like just spiritual blessings? No. Is food, does that pertain to life and godliness? Does money pertain to life and godliness? Yes. You're not going to get very far without money. I promise you, you're not going to get very far without money. I've been there without money, and I didn't have food. I didn't have clothes, and I didn't have very good shelter. Money pertains to life and godliness. I promise you, I wouldn't be standing in front of you if it money wasn't involved, because somebody gave an evangelist some money so he could buy a gas to put in his pickup to drive all the way up to Northeast Wyoming to preach to 20 people up there so I could get born again. And then he could get a Bible in my hand. That took money. That took money. Money pertains to life and godliness. I'll tell you something else that pertains to life and godliness. Pickups, transportation, food, clothing, and shelter. Did you know that a good wife pertains to life and godliness? See, God wants us to have a good life. He doesn't want a good life to have us. See, this is one of the things. He wants you to have money. He wants you to have the blessings. He wants you to have all this stuff. He wants you to have it. He just doesn't want it to have you. Remember, John said, I wish above all things that you may prosper, even as thy soul prospers. See, he wants us to prosper, but he doesn't want that prosperity to destroy us. He wants us to prosper, but our soul needs to prosper so that the blessing doesn't destroy us. You know, I've seen people that got flooded with big amounts of money and it destroyed them. I also know people that got flooded with big amounts of money, but because their soul prospered, they were able to bless people all over the world. You know, they could get Bibles to places that didn't have Bibles. They could get evangelists into countries all over the world. It takes money to fly people all over the world. See, God wants you to be prosperous. He wants you to be prosperous, but you need to understand what true prosperity really is. It's not money. That's part of it, but that it's not money. It gets taught that way a lot of times. But Jesus was the most prosperous man that ever walked the face of this earth. Did you know that? Jesus was the most prosperous man that ever walked the face of this earth. Because he had the ability to meet absolutely every single need that confronted him. And it wasn't just money. If somebody needed healing, he had it. If they needed a word of wisdom, he had it. If they needed a word of knowledge, he had it. If they needed a miracle, he had it. One time, he ran into a widow that was going down the street, and her son was in the casket. They were carrying him down the street. The funeral procession was going down the street. The criers went in front, and he went there and raised her son back to life. That's true prosperity. See, she would have been... She'd have just been out on the cold. There would have been nobody there to take care of her. Her husband was already gone. This was her only son. She lost everything. And he raised him back to life. That's true prosperity. You know, up home, there was a very, very wealthy man. He owned a lot of oil wells. And there was a guy out there cleaning a reserve pit. And the way they made him do it there is they had to suck all the liquid out. Then they had to liquefy the tailings and suck all that out. And then they had to take a squeegee and clean these plastic covers that they had in these pits, these pit liners, and clean all that up. And then they could cut the pit liners, roll all that up. But anyway, in the process of this guy was out there up to here in pit water with the hose, pulling this nasty stuff up into his truck. And this very wealthy man drove up there. Said, son, I would give anything in the world to be able to do what you do. He had all the money in the world, but he didn't have enough health and strength to do anything with it. All he had was money. See, that's not true prosperity. That may be financial riches, but it's not true prosperity. All the money in the world means nothing if you don't have health to enjoy it. But that's what Jesus was about meeting every need that was confronted with him. Here's another thing we need to look at. That according as his divine power has given unto us all things that pertain unto life and godliness through the knowledge of him. Oh. So if we get sick, a lot of times we go wanting to find scriptures on healing. If we need money, we tend to go find scriptures that talk about money. If we need protection, we go try to find scriptures that talk about healing. But remember, he said, all these things are given to you through the knowledge of him that has called us to glory and virtue. Remember, Jesus told us to take his yoke upon you and learn of him. So the more we learn of Jesus, see, everything that we need is wrapped up in him. The more we learn of Jesus, it's going to be through the knowledge of him. The more we learn of Jesus, the more we learn about him, the more this stuff is going to happen to us. It's called grace. See, when we start learning about these new creation realities, how we've been made the righteousness of God in Christ Jesus, we've been made new creatures in Christ Jesus, how we're the temple of the Holy Spirit, how we can do all things through Christ, which strengthens us. When we start learning about these things, and it's always wrapped up in him, then we have a revelation of the grace of God that happened to us. Then it makes faith a whole lot easier. Now then we can understand why it's important when we look at John chapter 14, verse 12, said, whatsoever you shall ask in my name, that will I do. So when we go pray for somebody and they get healed, it's because Jesus healed them. You know, Jesus is the only faith healer that ever lived. Jesus is the only faith healer, because he's the only one that can heal anybody. We go pray for people. That's what he told us to do. We go pray for people. He heals them. That takes the pressure off of us. All we got to do is just go pray for him. Go do what he said to do. He'll take care of the doing. And then God gets all the glory. How cool is that? That's fun. Verse 28, the disciples, let's go back over here to Mark chapter 9. Verse 28, when he was come into the house, his disciples asked him privately, why could not we cast him out? See, now this, we need to ask questions like this sometimes. You know, we need to ask God, we need to check into him, say, why couldn't I do this? Or why didn't this work? See, there's nothing wrong with God, and there's nothing wrong with God's word. And there's nothing wrong with you. Sometimes we don't interpret the information or get it downloaded the way it needs to be downloaded. Sometimes we use the wrong key in the wrong place. You know, sometimes, you know, people have a habit of trying to stick a square peg in a round hole. It happens. It happens. We make mistakes. It's okay. God's not mad at you. Just go ask God. Say, hey, how do I get this right? What do I got to do here? That's when I learned how to ask. You know, in these prayer lines, we always had this cookie cutter approach to every prayer line that I seen. We always had this cookie cutter approach, and we'd always go do the same thing. Sometimes we'd have results. Sometimes we wouldn't. Sometimes this one would hit. This one would miss. You know, this one would get healed, this one wouldn't. This one would get set free, this one wouldn't. Well, we were always doing the same thing. We were always doing the prayer of faith. You know, Jesus didn't just do the prayer of faith to everybody he ran into. You know, one guy, he said, your sins are forgiven. And he got up, walked away. One woman, he cast the spirit of infirmity off of her. And she walked away. One guy, he spit in some dirt and rubbed it in his eyes and told him to go wash in the pool of Siloam. And he walked away. See, he didn't have a cookie cutter approach to everything. But he always stayed in contact with the Holy Spirit. And the Holy Spirit always told him what he needed to do. Why can't we ask the Holy Spirit what we need to do? Once I started asking the Holy Spirit, hey, how do I need to pray for this situation? He started telling me how to pray for that situation. And results got a lot better. Then I wasn't always confused. You know, because I'd pray the prayer of faith for somebody and nothing would happen. I'd blame me. Well, I was using the wrong key. But when we use the right key, we're going to get the right results. But they said, why could not we cast him out? The answer, because of unbelief, is always the correct answer for these questions like this. See, instead of accepting this, many modern followers have manufactured innumerable substitutes as causes for the lack of power. See, there's a lot of different excuses for not getting results. One of them, and it's a bad one, but it gets preached from a lot of different pulpits, says, it may not be God's will. Then pick up the Bible and find out what God's will is. He wrote it out for you. This is His will. If it's written in here, that's His will. So we can believe it. We can act on it. And expect to have answers. You may be under the chastening of God. Really? He chastens us with His word. It's a correction, but it's not a punishment. He's not a punishing God. He'll chasten us with His word. He'll tell us, hey, look, don't go there. When you see a mama with a little 2-year-old kid learning how to walk, have you ever seen one where that kid tripped and fell down? Have you ever seen a mom reach down, grab that kid by the arm and warm his butt up? Said, I showed you how to do this twice. Now you get it right. You never seen that ever, did you? And God loves us so much more than even our own moms do. He'll correct us with His word. He'll show us the right way to go about this. But it's not a punishing. It's not a punishment. Another one is, power to heal was for the apostles only. Well, did you know that the disciples were healing people before they were apostles? And did you know that the disciples were healing people and they weren't apostles? They had the 12 apostles named already, but they had other disciples out there doing the work, and they were getting people healed. Did you know that the apostles didn't go away? They're still apostles today. That's part of the fivefold ministry. And that didn't go away. Sometimes you would think that there's only pastors and evangelists. But there's teachers. There's prophets. And they're all still here. Signs, gifts, and miracles ceased with the apostles. If that was true, then you shouldn't be born again. Because that's the biggest miracle that ever happened. How could God take somebody who is spiritually dead by the power of the Holy Spirit come into their heart and make them alive unto God? That's the biggest miracle ever. You may be exalted if God were to hear your prayer. exalted with pride. You know, you're not going to get born again without God hearing your prayer. Praise God. He hears the prayer of sinners. That was one of the first things I heard when I got born again. Somebody come up to me and said, God doesn't hear the prayer of sinners. I had to go find Romans chapter 10, 9 and 10 and meditate on that for a while, and then I got it. And then I got it in my heart. And thank God he hears the prayers of sinners, or we wouldn't be saved. Amen. Well, healing, some people will say that healing is not in the atonement. That's part of the gospel. Healing is part of the gospel. The Bible tells us that Jesus took stripes on his back for our healing. In fact, our healing was paid for before our sins were. Healing is not for today. There are some people that think that we have to wait until we get to heaven. You know, there's no sickness in heaven. Any healing that we're going to get from God, we're going to have to get it down here right now where it matters. We're not going to be wore out in heaven. I have a really strong question. I really don't think you're going to need any money in heaven either. You know, the Bible says he paves his streets with pure gold. I don't think money's going to be a problem. These things that we need down here, these things that pertain to life and godliness. I mean, we're going to need food, clothing, shelter. There's different things that we need. But we're going to have to receive them here. You know, he prepares a table before us in the presence of our enemies. That table's not in heaven. There's no enemies in heaven. That table is right here. We have to belly up to that table and receive what he's freely given us. Father, we thank you in the name of Jesus for everything that you've freely given us. We thank you for everything that you do for us. We thank you for everything that Jesus has done for us in his death, burial, and resurrection. We thank you for everything that Jesus is doing for us right now as our high priest, as he's making intercession for us, praying for us, causing us to be in the right place at the right time so that right things can happen for us. We thank you for this in Jesus' name. Amen. All right.